Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Tuesday afternoon here in Southern California. Thanks so much for being here on this. Well, I guess it's a sweltering summer day in many places. Other places, maybe just a perfect summer day, but it's an awful nice summer day because you're here with us, and we do appreciate it because we love talking about the stuff we get to talk about. If you want to talk about anything having to do with the life of faith, you want to talk about Jesus, you want to talk about the sacraments, you want to talk about the Bible, you want to talk about the Trinity, you want to talk about the moral life of the church, I don't know, you get the idea. Anything having to do with this Christian faith of ours, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. By the way, I say this faith of ours, but if you don't share that faith and you have a question, you're also welcome to call. We love talking about Jesus and his church. 888-318-7884. And nobody better to do that with than Tim Staples, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, a wonderful book that he has almost finished reading himself. 888-318-7884. Have you finished reading? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I was supposed to finish that a long time ago, the audio book.
But I see where your bookmark is. I'm like, come on, Tim. I know. That's like an afternoon for you.
Right.
Oh, that's less than an afternoon.
I'm down to Appendix 4. I just got to read the last three appendices, and we're done. But you know how it goes, Cycle.
I know how it goes, yeah, because my wife tells me that I have a problem finishing things. And I look around the house, and I'm like, a half-painted door, half-painted wall, half-finished garden. What are you talking about? Do you have that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. You know, that's why what you do, Cy, is have tons of kids.
What, to get them to finish it?
That's right.
Oh, well, have one of them come in and read it.
Are you kidding? I got seven kids, man. I don't even have to get off the sofa.
Oh, yeah. The life gets easier the more kids you have, says Tim Staples. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm going to tell you something because I talk about you behind your back, and I should say it to your face. somebody was talking to me, but somebody who's new to Catholic media. Wanted advice, and I was saying, you know what? I told him the joke you always say about sincerity is, what do you say, like 90% of the battle?
That's
and if you
right.
can fake that, you got it made. But there is something true to that, the authenticity is important. Like, you got to be yourself. I said, watch Tim Staples. That is Tim. When you're answering a question, when you're, like, you're not... I don't know, Tim. You're just who you are, and it's great. It's great.
You know what? And I think we can say that about a whole lot of folks in between these four walls. Actually, we got a lot more than four walls here, but we've got some incredible human beings here at Catholic Answers.
A lot of incredible human beings and Zach. It's extraordinary.
Zach. Well, there's always the outlier.
I thought he wasn't listening, and he looked up at that. Oh, I thought you were working. All right. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884.
Right on.
Anything you want to talk about before we go? Because I don't know if you're talking about that one thing yet. Are we?
That one thing?
Where you...
Oh, you mean my new...
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Oh, we are talking about it. I was scared to say it.
Yeah, it actually launched. In fact, the first. What is today's date?
Today's the 16th.
The 16th. My first episode is going up on the 20th.
Oh.
It's already in the can, brother. And what are we talking about? We're talking about my new YouTube series called One on One with Tim Staples. And it is about to go up the first episode, right? That's what we would call it.
Yeah, this is brilliant because you are at your absolute best after the talk. The talk is great, but you're at your best after the talk when people come up and go, Tim, this has been bugging me for 5 years or, you know, that kind of thing. And you just spend as much time as it takes for that person to get a satisfactory response. And now you're doing that on YouTube.
Amen. And it is something else. It's One-on-One with Tim Staples, as I said, and we're basically going to talk about, just like we do here, you know, all comers, all topics.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a little bit more zeroed in, focused on a particular topic. So, for example, we just had a fellow who had questions about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah. So,
and he's a new convert, but is, and I would say a up and coming. If you go to Catholic Answers YouTube channel on the 20th and see the broadcast, you'll know what I'm talking about, because this is a young, I think, up-and-coming apologist.
Oh, really?
In the works, this young lad. And so, it's anything from that to I've got an atheist coming up, and you name the topic, and it's just, it's a one-on-one back and forth, which, as you said, man, that is just my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do that in coffee shops right now. Like, you're always meeting with people in coffee shops.
Amen. It's incredible, dude. I mean, everywhere you go. I mean, if you want to talk about Jesus, I mean, you just walk outside your door. I mean, there's lots of humans out there.
Yeah.
You know, you really can.
That's a great insight,
If you just be friendly and talk with folks, it's incredible that, you know, the doors open. And don't be overbearing. You know, there's nothing worse. I remember when I was Pentecostal, we used to say there's nothing, this is pretty funny, I think, but there's nothing worse than a half-full Christian trying to overflow.
Oh my gosh, what a great line. Yeah.
You know, it really is about being who you are and letting Jesus be Jesus in you.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
This is what I notice about you, Tim. When you're talking to somebody, there's this moment where they're giving you their objection or their complaint or whatever it is about the Catholic Church, and then you go, "Yes, great, great." Like that, and then and then it all comes out.
Well, what's a blessing, Si, is that being raised as I was in a very anti-Catholic community, there's very little that folks say that I can't say, oh, man, yeah, I used to say that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, and because in my teen years I went through my atheist phase, you know, I guess I appreciate folks from all the different backgrounds. And I got to say this too, Si, and I think it's important for all of us to remember this. We can learn from anybody.
Yeah.
You can learn. I mean, even if it's some dude behind bars for murder, if you go in and visit
with folks
like that, it is incredible how you can learn from anybody. You know, that short of the dude who's trying to kill you. All right, that you know, there you got.
That's how I learned to run. That's right. That's how I developed my running technique.
There you do have to, perhaps get out of the way or defend yourself. But seriously, you really can. And when you talk to folks about the faith, be they an atheist or a Muslim or whomever. In fact, I'm in a little discussion right now with a fellow on Islam, and he shared some things and brought up some ancient Muslim thinkers that a couple of them that I hadn't read before. So I'm doing a little research and reading a little bit of what these fellows wrote. And then I'm like, ha-ha, that helps you to be a better apologist when it comes to talking to the next Muslim fellow. So, you know, no matter who it is you're talking to, you can learn. And when you are grounded in your faith, folks, you know, hey, folks, as Father Brandon, my old Greek and Latin professor, used to say in school when I was in the seminary, he would raise his voice and go, "We know we're right." Right? We know we're right. We don't have to revisit the Trinity. We don't have to revisit. We know we're right. But the question is perfecting how we share it. And that's a lifelong endeavor. Now, of course, if you're not sure about what the church teaches, you need to get formed.
Yeah.
And know, because really, that's it. You know, as St. Paul put it in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "As much as it is in me, I am prepared to preach the gospel to those who are at Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe." Notice he says, it's in him. It's in as much as it's in me, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. Why? Because it's in me. So, hey, maybe we should go to the phone so we can get...
Tell me the passage again.
That's Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16.
Hey, check out One-on-One with Tim Staples. You get to see Tim get to do what he does. And I've seen him do it all around the world, frankly. And it's always fun when we get to see it. Now you get to see it. Somebody just coming with, as you know, with the follow-up question and the next follow-up question and the next follow-up question, a great conversation. Check it out on YouTube on the 20th. The first episode dropped, One-on-One with Tim Staples.
And can I say one last thing?
Please.
Please, folks, do not be ashamed or afraid to say, "I don't know." That is a really good point. but I'll get an answer for you. That's what Matt Dula did to me all those years ago. Whenever I'd hit him with something, for those of you who don't know, Sergeant Matt Dula was the young Marine that I met when I was serving the United States Marine Corps, who went a long way toward bringing me into the Catholic faith, and in fact sponsored me when I did come in to the Catholic faith. But he would do that because I'd hit him with 5,000 scriptures. Believe it or not, folks, I have a pretty good portion of scripture memorized, but I ain't even close to where I was back then. I had whole sections of memorized and just wham, and I'd hit him with this or that, and at times he had the answer immediately, but at times he didn't. But he would say that to me. He'd say, "You know what, Tim? I don't know the answer to that." But he would write it down, and he had a little day planner because we didn't have cell phones back then. We didn't have smartphones back then. He would write it down in his and he would go get an answer, and he'd come back to me, and often with a book, Si.
Really?
He'd come back with a book. Here. And I found out later it was Father Ron Gillis, who Chris Check knows. Because I think Father Ron taught Chris when he was in high school. He's an Opus Dei priest who was Matt Dula's spiritual director and would later become my first spiritual director after I converted.
Oh.
But Father Ron would give him a book. He'd say, have him read this and highlight here chapter so-and-so on that question, but tell him to read this. And they would give me these books, you know? And see, that's the key, man. It is about being humble. You don't have to be right all the time. In fact, sometimes it's better if you're not right all the time. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Be a little bit human.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a little bit of that human opening.
Because sometimes you can get prideful or even come across as prideful, and it really doesn't work. You know, I'm not talking about lying, saying you don't know when you do. But in all things,
I don't have that problem.
We've got
that's never come up.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, as the apologist's favorite verse, folks, and I'll leave you with this, is 1 Peter 3:15. Right, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts always, and be ready to give everyone a reason for the hope that lies within you, and do it with meekness and respect.
Amen. 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 All right. Well, let's just, Zach, let's do the break now so I don't have to interrupt in the middle of a call. We'll do a very, Amen. Very quick break. We'll be right back with all the lines are full. So lots of calls for Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Call and ask Tim your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
This is Bishop William Walterscheid, auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. What are the benefits of confessing our sins? First of all, we receive forgiveness because in confession, we come to Jesus himself. Another benefit of confessing our sins is receiving the healing that Jesus wants us to have. What is the benefit of confessing our sins? To know to whom we belong, Jesus, the merciful Savior.
One-on-One with Tim Staples, the new podcast, YouTube, that's a channel or broadcast. No, what do you call it? YouTube
episode.
Thing that's coming out.
Oh.
Regular. It starts on the 20th. I think it's going to be a big deal.
I think
you're going to see a side of Tim, and you're going to get a depth of conversation that I think people are hungry for.
I think we call it a YouTube series.
YouTube series. There we go. Jonathan, it would have come to me eventually. In Portland, Oregon, watching on the YouTubes. Jonathan, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Very well.
All right. My question today is, I am a Catholic. I got baptized a couple months ago. I have a partner who was raised Catholic.
Yes.
She was raised in Colombia, strict Catholicism, and then when she moved to America, she left the church, no longer practices. And I've tried to go through regular arguments and be convincing and try to talk about it. I have to admit, yeah. I'm really inexperienced with the faith compared to you guys, so it's been tough. But the main point that she's been in opposition of is sexism in the Bible. And she doesn't specifically cite any chapters, but I know right. she's talking about Ephesians 5, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 3, and these things. And right. the way I've seen it, and I don't know if the church authorizes this argument, but I've said if the man is placed at the head or the authority of the household, the mm-hmm. equal and just as valuable role is the heart, which, amen. I mean, they're not meant to compete with each other, but she still accepts it as sexist, and I don't really know
right.
what else I can say besides that. And I'm wondering sure. if you guys know any other things I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right on. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you're actually stealing from Pope Pius XI. In fact, he says in almost those words, if I could remember the section, it's at the tip of my tongue, but I want to say around 27 because I absolutely love that document. It's called Casti Connubi. It was a powerful document written by Pope Pius XI in 1930, just after the Lambeth Conference of the Anglicans. They became the first Christian body ever to allow contraception, and in limited circumstances, but it was devastating. And from that time forward, of course, there has been a moral collapse in Protestantism in general. But here, the reason why I bring that up is in that text, among just, and I recommend everybody read that thing. Of course, Pius, Pope St. Paul VI quotes that numerous times, I think about four different times in Humani Vitae. And it's just a wonderful document. But he famously says in that document that, yes, the husband is the head of the family and therefore holds the chief place in authority. The wife is the heart, and therefore she holds, and he says she can claim for herself, as I recall, I think that's the language he uses, the chief place in love. Man, it's such a powerhouse of a statement, because, of course, you know what? Ultimately, if we're going to say what's more important, Cy, what's more important, authority or charity? You know, I mean, come right. on. The greatest of these is charity, says St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13, right? So, yeah, when we're talking about authority in our modern egalitarian age of this ridiculous notion of, you know, equality being sameness, you know, it's absurd, right? I mean, all we have to do, this is what I try to help people to see, is that can't we acknowledge that we have difference of roles? You know, the funny thing is, and I guess it's not funny, but you used to say, you know, men don't have babies.
You know, oh, now, you used to say it. Oh, my
well,
gosh.
Well, we still do, of course, because right. it's a biological fact. But, I mean, it's just so crazy. We've lost our collective minds here in the modern era, where you have people that have just been reduced to absolute tomfoolery, saying men can have babies sometimes, right? And all of this, which is absolute lunacy. But you still, even in the midst of the insanity that we see all around us, you have to speak, I said in the midst of the insanity that we see all around us, you have to speak sanity to this insanity. And so, yeah, we acknowledge that there are different roles. We are not the same. There is no doubt that the man has a different role in the family than the woman. And you know what's amazing is that you look at my kids or kids in general, they know this, Cy. They don't have, my kids didn't need to go to class to learn that dad is the provider. He's the big dude. He's the strong guy. You know, he's the protector. Mm-hmm. And they see that I protect my wife and I protect them. And they know that I'm the protector and the provider. And they all, and who do they run behind when dad gets mad? they run to mama, right? you know, it's just absurd when we in this crazy age in which we live want to deny that there are differences. Of course there are. And, you know, if you can just try to start the conversation, can we see there's a difference? And can we see, here's point number two, can we see that in any endeavor, be it business, countries, politics, every state has a governor, every country has a president or a prime minister, right? Isn't this kind of common sense, Cy Kellett, that you need a leader?
Right.
My gosh, if you have any organization whatsoever, if you're going to have an organization without a leader, it reminds me, this conversation reminds me of the famous, because I'm an old Pentecostal boy. Back in 1906, there was the famous Azusa Street Revival. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah,
the birth of the modern Pentecostal movement, right? And the idea was they were going to just pray till the Holy Ghost fell and there would be no pastors, no leaders. Jesus was going to be our leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Within a few years, you had four denominations. You did. Why? Because ultimately, questions are going to come up, difficulties are going to come up, and somebody has to be in charge. You cannot have an organization. And you know, if there's one thing we can say about God and about Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, he ain't dumb.
He ain't.
He ain't dumb. And he is the one. Jesus Christ is the one who, and in the sense, he didn't establish the family. That was written into our very being from the instant God created Adam and Eve. The headship of man is written into his nature. And the woman being the heart is written into their very nature as man and wife, as father and mother, in the context of the family. And so when you understand that first and foremost, then you can get into texts of Scripture and all of a sudden it starts making sense. Those verses of Scripture that seem sexist, like you mentioned Ephesians 5, 19 through 22, and especially 22, right? The husband is the head of the wife, right? As Christ is the head of the church. Well, that's sexist. Is it? Is it sexist that Christ is the head of the church? Well, if you think that, we got to back up a little bit, right? And let's once again talk about, you know, equality doesn't mean sameness, right? So there's an absolute equality between man and woman, but that doesn't mean sameness. Well, Christ came down here and showed us how things work. He is the head of the church, and he is the one who established the man as the head of the family and priests as the fathers over the household of faith. This is hierarchy that's not just pulled out of the blue in some sexist context, but this actually comes from within. And that's what I think we have to communicate, Cy, is that this comes from within. It comes from our nature. To deny this in a family or even in a culture is to create families that are wounded. Look, if you don't have somebody in charge of your business, you're going to have chaos. And if you don't have a head of your family, then there's only really a couple of options. If you don't have a husband as the head, well, you either have a two-headed monster or a headless corpse, because there's nowhere else to go. You either have, what did I say? A two-headed monster. If you try to have two heads, you can't function that way. Ask any businessman in the world, any nation that we see, you have a leader, and that's the way God established the family. Now, let me just say this, because I know you mentioned a number of different texts, especially 1 Peter chapter 3, you know, where Peter says the woman is not to be arrayed in costly gold and braided hair and such. You know, Pope Francis made a statement on this not long ago that we do, as biblical exegetes, we have to take a look at texts like these, and we have to interpret them properly, because there are things that are cultural and conditioned by the time. You know, the braided hair and such had connotations back then. the costly gold and braided hair had connotations that that does not have today. We have other things that would carry connotations. Like, I'm talking about prostitutes, right? And prostitution. See, Peter is bringing up what was in the first century commonly attributed to. Now, he's not, you know, being mean and putting people down. This is the context of the first century. But that does not mean then you negate when he talks about the man being the head and all of that. And the same with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 15 with St. Paul and Ephesians chapter 5. So we have to kind of delineate what is essential and what is, in fact, cultural. But when it comes to man being the head and such, we're talking about that which is essential.
Jonathan, thanks. We got to take a break. Right back with more Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Anna Mitchell here. Tomorrow morning on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll get geared up for the National Eucharistic Congress and talk about the incredible witness of the martyrs of Compiègne on their feast day. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a lot of fun. Tim Staples is with us both hours. So that is good news because we're going to talk about, well, what do you want to talk about the Catholic faith? Whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call and ask your question. Raise your objection. Make your point, whatever. 888-318-7884. It's Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples. I got to say, there's something coming up, and now I have an ad in front of me that I think Carrie has worded to piggyback on someone else's thing without violating copyright. So see if you can see. Check this out, Zach. See if you can detect where Carrie is carefully avoiding an infringement of copyright. Stop by shop.catholic.com today and tomorrow for our prime time deal days. That's right, prime time deal days. We've got a $5 and $10 book sale going on. 2 days only, 30 titles in all. New books and bestsellers included. Don't miss out over at shop.catholic.com. It's a completely made-up name that has nothing to do with anything else that's going on right now. It's Prime Time Deal Days. 888-318-7884 is the number. I tell you that because there's two lines open. Holy smokes. That's rare when Tim's here to have two lines open. So grab them. John's in Oklahoma watching on YouTube. Welcome, John. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Okay, first off, I want to say, you know, I'm not a Catholic yet. I hope to be confirmed end of November.
Well, praise God.
That's beautiful. It's been an awesome journey so far. And let me tell you something. You guys at Catholic Answers, Trent Horn, Jimmy, all you guys have been an absolute blessing. And I thank God every day that, you know, you guys are available for us on YouTube and on the Internet and all that.
Thank you,
praise
John.
God. Thank you, brother. So how can we help?
Okay, now, I've seen it on the Internet, and a lot of us have, and it's supposed to be in Sri Lanka, but I highly doubt it. This place is claiming to have the remains of Adam and Eve. Right. Now, my question is, how is that even possible? Because wouldn't the floods have destroyed everything, you know, prior?
Right, right. It's a great question, my friend, and I preface my remarks by saying, when I get into this kind of stuff, and by the way, I love looking at this stuff because I love traditions like this and diving into it and seeing what's happening. But yeah, floods and the worldwide flood, that's a whole nother question. As the Catholic Church, of course, does not mandate that we believe that there was a flood that covered the entire globe all at once. You can believe as a Catholic in a localized flood, which would have been the whole world for them, you know, back before they even understood how large the world is. The new world, obviously, that as we talk about it, had not been discovered and so forth. So that's a whole another question. And of course, Catholics are free to believe there was, but you're also free to believe there wasn't when it comes to that universal flood. But as far as then the, you know, the idea that the remains of Adam and Eve could be located in a particular place, that is absolutely possible. You could, and there is a tradition. It comes from the Midrash and among Jews, and the real staunch Orthodox Jews, they have places they go and they pray to, I should say they pray at, where there's one place in particular, and it's called the Cave of the Patriarchs, and that's in Hebron, where it is believed that you may well. Now, there are different traditions. There are some who say that their bones are elsewhere. So, look, this is not something Catholics have to believe. There are different traditions as to where Adam and Eve were, but this particular cave, which is called, it's actually mentioned, by the way, in Genesis 23, the Cave of the Patriarchs, which it's mentioned in the context of where Sarah was buried because it's the Cave of the Patriarchs, and Abraham actually bought it. And the idea being that that's where Adam and Eve's bones are. But, of course, you also have the tradition that says that Golgotha is the place of the skull where Adam is buried right there. So you have different traditions as to where Adam is, but it goes back a long way. There are traditions concerning the patriarchs and even Adam and Eve that go back a long, long way. And so that's why, you know, for me, I just love that stuff. And I tend to think, he's in one of those places, right? And I think it's really cool, but it's cool because you're talking about an ancient tradition that really gives some, you know, we talk about often the factual history concerning our Catholic faith. We have remarkable history. In our creed, we mention he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. Why did we put Pontius Pilate in the creed? Because that roots it in a real historical person, verifiable by secular as well as religious documents and so forth, that our faith is not, as St. Peter said, we do not speak via cunningly devised mythoi, right? Myths, as Peter says. Rather, Peter goes on to say, we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we were eyewitnesses of his glory. Now, Peter is there referring to his seeing Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, glorified and such. But Peter is saying, you're looking at an eyewitness here. We saw. John will say the same thing. We saw. We touched. Right? This is historical reality. When you get back to, say, Moses, and then in even further back to the patriarchs, you don't have that level of certainty that we do as Christians, although you have an enormous amount of certainty, especially with regard to Moses. You don't have the kind of certainty we have concerning Jesus Christ, the resurrection.
Basically, immediate historical record.
Immediate, yeah. Exactly. But you know what we have? We have Jesus, and Jesus tells us it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He talks about
Moses.
Yeah.
He talks about, and so.
And the patriarchs, yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't dive in and we look at these traditions and such. So I always say, look, check out the Midrash. There are differing traditions, you know, and you can believe what you want or not believe when it comes to that. Now, I do believe as Catholics, we have, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, in section 390, we have the certainty of faith when it comes to the reality of Adam and Eve, our first parents. Again, that's the Catechism, section 390. But as far as where they're buried and that sort of thing, there you're getting into the area of varying traditions and some legends and whatnot. So as long as you, I think, Cy, as long as we understand it, dive in, man. Read and study and find out. And if you get the chance to go to actually to Israel, which I've been blessed to be able to do, it is really awesome to hear. I will tell you this, brother, and I know we got to go. We've got folks waiting. But when I went to the Holy Land, and I hope to go back many, many times, it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And when you meet folks that live there and they know of these ancient traditions and whatnot, it is really beautiful to see. And you also come to appreciate because, you know, in the modern era, here's something that kind of gets my goat. Cy, and to my friend, is we kind of, in the modern era, we poo-poo these traditions. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're just, but we fail to understand that these traditions were everything to the ancient people. They didn't have television, people. You know, they knew what was most important. And these traditions were about everything that they are. And they guarded them from the time of the patriarchs. So when you talk about, yeah, Abraham bought the cave of the patriarchs and all of that, that's enormous. That's enormous because these were people who guarded their traditions. And so when you have something that goes back that far, that is extremely significant and it is a much more sure foundation. I guess I'm saying this, Cy.
Yeah.
It's a more sure foundation than the modern mind wants to let on.
This is, I think, something that a lot of people get in college, frankly, is a kind of skepticism about ancient sources, which is basically just like those people were dumber than us or something. It's really very dismissive. Like all these people who talk about multiculturalism, well, what about their culture?
Yeah.
Like, why are we so disrespectful of the ancient cultures?
Absolutely. I remember reading, I think it's Peter Kreeft's massive book it's on the catechism. It's an excellent book. But in that book, he talks about how in the modern era, we poo-poo the ancients who believed, you know, there were angels pushing the stars around, right? And he said, well, that makes a whole lot more sense than to believe an explosion caused all of this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that
it just caused itself. I guess that's basically what you're saying.
That it caused itself. They at least realized there has to be first causality. And that is a fact. In order for there to be anything in existence right now, there needs to be first causality. But I just thought that was interesting how that he kind of turned the tables on the argument and saying, well, there's a lot more wisdom and a lot more scientific truth behind that statement than to say that this universe caused itself and keeps itself in existence.
Which is strictly impossible.
Anyway, we went beyond your question, John, but God bless you.
Got to take a break. Right back with more Ask Me Anything on Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
You need courage to stand up and be Christian, and stand up and be a real Catholic, not a divided Catholic, not one who lives by half-truths or preaches lies. Follow the Church. Follow the Magisterium. You can't go wrong.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples is our guest. Up next, going, Abraham in Atlanta. We haven't spoken to Abraham in Atlanta for a while, watching on YouTube. Welcome back, Abraham.
Hey, so my question was, why did the Protestants take the Greek Septuagint out of their Bible, and what year, and what was the reason they took it out?
Okay. All right. Let's just going to tweak that your question just a little bit. It's not that the Protestants took the Septuagint out. Remember, the Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures that was translated roughly over about 150-year period from about 250 BC to 100 BC. And it's extremely important, of course, because that text was preserved tremendously, and much more so than the Masoretic text. And that text was basically the Bible that Jesus and the apostles read. Now hold on, John, and I'll, was that John? No, Abraham. Abraham, hold on a second, and I'll get to the answer to your question. But just a little bit of background. When you read your New Testament, and there are roughly 300 quotes taken from the Old Testament in the New Testament. Of those 300, over 250 of them come directly from the Septuagint, right? Now, the Septuagint, then, is extremely important when you're exegeting the New Testament, when you're understanding. You know, I use the example, Cy, of our Blessed Lord in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, that fateful, beautiful day when he goes into the to the synagogue and he reads the text from what? Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, right? Opening eyes of the blind, to set at liberty the captive, and to proclaim the acceptable year, Lord. All of that, right? And of course, he puts it down. This day, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Well, guess what? He's quoting the Septuagint word for word, not what would later come to be known the Masoretic text, that is the Hebrew text. He was quoting from the Greek text, was St. Luke. And you see that all over. And sometimes it becomes very important in biblical exegesis because, for example, in Hebrews chapter 10, when you have the famous text from Psalm 40 that's referring to the incarnation, prophetically speaking, Cy, this one gives me goosebumps, man. Because there, it says, you know, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me, right? And therefore, lo, I come, as it is written in the volume of the book, to do your will. And he's talking about the incarnation, the word. Well, what is he quote? What is the inspired author to the Hebrews quoting, Cy Kellett? He's quoting the Septuagint. In fact, if you go to Psalm 40, it's not even close to that. It says, "Thou hast given me an ear, right, to listen and such, rather than a body thou hast prepared for me. Well, guess what? Which is the one that's more faithful to the ancient inspired text, Cy Kellett? The Greek Septuagint. And we know that because the New Testament author quotes it. At least you have a good, solid argument.
I see what you're saying.
You have a good, solid argument to be made, at any rate. That, look, this is certainly the inspired word of God in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, why do I bring that up? Because you say that the Protestants took out. No, what the Protestants did is they went with the Hebrew text. Why? Because shortly after the time of Christ, the Jews, and remember, at the time of Christ, Jew, Gentile, the Bible everybody read in first century Palestine was the Septuagint. This was the common folk. Because remember, Greek was the language of the empire. Starting in 332, you know, when Alexander conquered the known world, Greek became the lingua franca, right, of the empire. And that's why the New Testament's all written in Greek, right? The Greek was it was kind of like English is today as the language of the world. You know, everybody, you can go to, I remember going to Morocco and people knew enough English, you know, to sell you something. You know, everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Everybody right. has to know. Well, that's the way it was with Greek, and later Latin would become the language of the empire. But the point is, it was Greek, and so, you know, that Greek influence is so important. And here's the exciting part. Now, yeah, the Jews were the ones who rejected the Septuagint. Why? Because after Christ, there was a movement among the, first of all, you had, you know, the Jews being scattered all over the world, you know, especially in 130 AD when you had, what was his name, Bar Kokhba, who, you know, claimed to be the Messiah, and then he was dispersed and so forth, and the Jews were scattered. There was an attempt, they had to try to get their identity back. They lost the temple. And they were losing their identity. And so they rejected. Follow me on this, Abraham. It was the ancient Jews who overwhelmingly rejected everything Greek. They didn't like the Hellenization and what was happening here. And the Christians, who were evangelizing all over the place and growing like weeds all around. And so there was this sort of pushback against the Septuagint, and it was the purity of the Hebrew text. That's where the Masoretic text comes from, because the Masoretes were the ones who preserved the Hebrew text in a line, right? But unfortunately, how they preserved it, see, they had a different mindset. They did not preserve texts. They were just very careful in transmitting them, writing them. They would write one word at a time to be sure they get it accurate, but the older manuscripts they would throw away. And that's why you didn't have, are you following me on this side?
Yes.
You didn't have any Masoretic texts that were older than 1000 AD or AD 1000 until the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now follow me on this. See, the Masoretic text, you didn't have ancient texts because when they got old, they threw them away. Christians tended to preserve the texts. We wanted the more ancient texts. The Jews threw them away because of their belief in the sacred nature of those texts. They would throw them away. We wanted to preserve them. But here is the exciting part, okay? The Protestants followed in the Jews' footsteps, who rejected the Septuagint, rejected everything Greek, and they tried to preserve that which was Hebrew, although they failed because some of the books that they would throw out were actually, we know now, originally written in Aramaic and not Greek, the originals. But be that as it may, the Protestants basically followed the Jews. And why? Because the Protestants, like Luther, he didn't like texts like 2 Maccabees, because, of course, 2 Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 46 through 48, teaches purgatory. I mean, you have a picture of purgatory right there, you know, and that's a no-go. So they went with that staunch sort of no to the Septuagint, no to the Greek, and that included getting rid of books like 2 Maccabees. But here's the exciting part, Abraham. is that Protestant scholarship today, if you go most, even Bible colleges, not just the more heady seminaries, but Bible colleges, and I've seen this firsthand from folks, are getting back into really in a serious way studying the Septuagint and seeing how, and this is why, because with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scroll, and it, not that it was absolutely necessary, because there was already, you had Protestant scholars very much who understood the importance of the Septuagint for reasons I gave you just now and more. But with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have found Hebrew manuscripts 1,000 years older than anything we had ever had heretofore.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
That's a huge discovery. Why? Because you have 1,000 years of transcribing, and evidently over time some things were lost. After the time of Christ, things were lost, and maybe there might have been just a little bit of omission here and there, especially in some of the prophetic texts like Daniel chapter 7. In fact, I had a scholar, a Catholic scholar, come and talk to our apologists here at Catholic Answers about this, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, some of those texts concerning Christ. There were just a little bit of omissions here and there about the nature of the Messiah to come being God, right? Like in Daniel 7. So this is the exciting part. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, you find that there are texts in the Dead Sea Scrolls, like from Isaiah and elsewhere, where the Hebrew text is actually closer to the Septuagint than it is to the Masoretic text. Now, we should have got a hint from that, I believe, from right there. You know, I mentioned Hebrews chapter 10, and we could do other examples, and I mentioned Luke 4:16. But that's exciting stuff. And so I can tell you that among Protestant scholars, Catholic scholars, everyone was excited about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it really did contribute greatly to a new appreciation. Now, of course, our Greek, the Greek Orthodox, as well as our Byzantine Catholics friends, are saying, "We told you this all along. What's the matter with you, you know, Latin Catholics, man? That's the Septuagint is where it's at, man." But it is really true that in Protestant scholarship, and by the way, that scholar that I had come here, his name is Dr. Michael Barber. He taught us about this, and he's forgotten more about it than I'll ever know. He's a brilliant scholar, but he brought up particular cases and so forth. So it's an exciting time. So I say this to Abraham, it's not that they took out the Septuagint. No, they were following the Hebrew, the Masoretic text of the Jews, and wrongfully, because you see what they fail to understand is the Jews accepted, that is the real Orthodox Jews, the Pharisees, right? They accepted books like Second Maccabees and Tobit and Wisdom and such, the seven books that we accept, as well as parts of Daniel and Esther. They accepted those. It would be later that the Jews would start to reject these things, again, because they're trying to, you know, keep their identity as Jews. We're going to hold to everything Hebrew, get rid of this Greek influence and this and that. And, of course, the Christian influence. And the Christians overwhelmingly stayed to the tradition that Jew and Christian once had of the Septuagint. That's why the Septuagint is so dominant in the New Testament. So the problem, though, for the Protestant is, why do you want to reject that which the Christians held to, and you're going to accept the Jews? But these were the same Jews who rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the establishment of the New Testament church. So I think, Abraham, that's where you want to go. And it helps you to understand why the Protestants have gone this way. It was pretty much kind of, we're going with the Jews because, hey, we like getting rid of Maccabees and stuff like that. But unfortunately, now scholarship is moving them back in the right direction.
Abraham, thank you so much for that question. As you can hear, we have to take a very quick break, but we'll be right back. All the lines are full. Hey, if you're on the line, hang on the line. There's going to be one line open when Abraham opens it up, and you can fill that one, 888-318-7884. It's Ask Me Anything. Tim Staples is our guest. And don't forget, there's a big primetime deal days going on over at shop.catholic.com. $5 and $10 book sale. Don't miss it. Shop.catholic.com. Right back with more Tim Staples, Ask Me Anything on Catholic Answers Live.